There we go. Sorry, Paul. Thank you, Brian and the band. Church, I hope you're encouraged today and challenged and believing. I hope you believe what we just sang, that he will hold me fast. So I don't know about you. Isn't it exciting to see the kids heading off to children's worship? I love it. I love it. Time with Miss Lauren. I don't know about you, about your week, about what you've been going through, but if you've ever found yourself disappointed that things haven't turned out the way you had hoped they would, doubting, disbelieving, discouraged. Anybody ever been in that camp when you've prayed for something, hoping it would turn out one way, and it is just not the way you had hoped it would be? Anybody there? Yeah. If your hands ain't raised, you're lying today. Friends, we have a Savior. His name is Jesus, and he sees us, and he knows us in the midst of every disappointment, in the darkest of despair. When you're doubting, when you're hurting, he sees you and he knows you. I want you to hear that today. And we're going to see it in his word today. Lord, this is where the hope comes from, friends, right? God has revealed himself in his word, and most specifically and incredibly through the living word, the Lord Jesus. And we're going to look at Jesus. Here we are, a week removed from Resurrection Sunday, right? And so we're going to look today in John chapter 20 and see an example of Jesus meeting some folks right where they are in the midst of, wow, this did not go the way we thought it was going to go. We're going to look in John 20 when the disciples gather in the upper room. Jesus has been crucified and buried, but now they're hearing word that he's alive. They're gathered together, doors are locked. They're afraid of the Jews and the Romans. They're afraid they might be next to be crucified. Fearful, disappointed, doubting, wondering, I thought Jesus was the Messiah. I thought this was going to go like different. Even though he had said, hey, the Son of Man is going to have to suffer and die. Wait. I mean, Peter said, no, this isn't going to be. He said, get behind me, Satan. This is how it's going to be. And so in the midst of disappointment and discouragement, Jesus steps right on in. And then even a week later, Thomas wasn't with him the first time. I hope we're going to see some encouragement and hope from how Jesus interacted with Thomas and encouraged him. And so if you are able and willing, would you stand with me as we read from John chapter 20? I'm going to begin in verse 1, go through 1 through 10, and then hop down to the conclusion in 19 through 31. I'm reading from the NIV 1984. Hope you can follow along. John writes, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. I love John's candidness, right? Like, I beat Peter to the tomb. Like, foot race, I won. He bent over, speaking of himself, John bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. And then hopping down, so Jesus has a powerful interaction here with Mary and sees her, knows her, calls her by name. She didn't recognize him at first. Verse 19, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where their nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And Jesus did many other miracles and signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Let's pray. Father, again, we come before you this morning, having sung your praises, thankful that the Lord Jesus will hold us fast, and that it is just a foretaste of deliverance. How unwavering our hope, that we might behold the wondrous mystery of the sinless Son of God, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, who died, was buried, and who rose again and has ascended to your right hand. He is the very one who stepped into the room with the disciples. He's the very one who came again and stepped into the room with the disciples. And he is the one who today steps into our messes and our disappointments and our hurts and our pains, our discouragement, and says, "Peace, be still." God, help us to look to Christ, to trust in him wholeheartedly for forgiveness, for life, and to look to him and to trust him for the power and the purpose in this life that we now live, for your honor, for your glory, and for the good of those that you bring up across our path. So, Father, even today, stir our hearts with hope found in your Son, Jesus. Help us to stop doubting. Help us to stop being disbelieving, but believing. Find us faith-filled this morning, in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. So friends, I love this story. I love this account of how Jesus, not to mention the fact that he showed up in the room. The doors are locked. Everything's barred down. Now, did the doors just miraculously open and Jesus walk through? Maybe. It didn't say that he came through the wall. He just said it, that he showed up. I don't know. I speculate and think perhaps in a glorified body you can move at the speed of thought and just show up. Boop. Be awesome, right? Travel the universe, forget speed of light, way behind. Speed of thought. God says, "Oh, go check out this galaxy that I created. It's awesome." Boop. Oh, hey. I don't know. But I do know this. I do know this. John records, we're gathered in the room. The doors are locked. Jesus came and Jesus stood among us. And he said, peace. So friends, in the midst of, I mean, put yourselves in their situation, right? They had just heard word. Peter and John had a foot race. John got there first. That he mentioned like three times. I beat him there. He was behind me. He looked in. I still beat him there. So they see it, like, okay, it's empty. We see the burial cloths and stuff and don't make sense of it. Mary Magdalene remains. She has an encounter with Jesus, who she thought was the gardener. He's like, if you put him somewhere, tell me. And he says, Mary. Our sweet Savior, in every moment, he sees us, friends, calls us by name, and speaks into our disappointment and despair. I mean, these guys, their world had just been rocked. Even though Jesus warned them and foretold, look, this has got to happen, they scattered, fled, hid, all the things. They were afraid for their lives, and so gathered on that Sunday, and then they're hearing continued word. He's alive. Like, I don't know, maybe. John saw and believed. And then the rest of them, they're gathered in the upper room. Jesus shows up. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Shalom, brothers. Everything that is encapsulated in peace and fullness of life. Shalom. Peace be with you. And after this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Friends, in the midst of our disappointment and our doubts, Jesus speaks peace. You hear me? In the midst of your disappointment and your doubt and your discouragement, Jesus speaks peace, and he provides proof. Proof of his presence with you in the storm. These guys were freaking out. He says, look, it's me. Come on and touch me if you need to. It's me. In the midst of your discouragement and doubt, Jesus has a word, peace be with you. And he provides proof of his presence. Now, obviously today, he's not standing in the room physically. But as brothers and sisters in Christ, we can be that presence of Christ in one another's lives. Amen? That's what our small groups are all about. We're gathered in here to worship, which is an awesome thing. But friends, the hands and feet of this body that we call Woodlawn, the ministry that happens, it's in our small groups at 9:15 and in Bible studies at Wednesday and other groups that gather. It's when we're connected life to life with one another, when Jesus uses other folks in our lives to speak peace. I'm here for you. Jesus is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And that proof of his presence, and as a believer, it's his Holy Spirit within us to provide the hope and to provide the comfort that we need. I mean, he is the one who said, my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul reminded us that his power is made perfect in our weakness. So we are bound to face difficult things, but it's a wonder and a glory and a mystery, right? How Jesus just steps in and speaks peace and hope and life. And I love the encouragement that he gives us. After he talks to Thomas, he says, you see me and you touch me and so you believe, but catch it. Blessed are those who have not seen yet believe. Friends, we're counted in that number. We haven't seen Jesus physically, right? He's not here 2,000 years after he walked the earth. We haven't seen him in the flesh, yet we believe. And blessed are you for having not seen but believed. And blessed are you today for being the hands and the feet of a Savior who loves us so deeply. So friends, in the midst of your discouragement, in the midst of your doubts, in the midst of your hurting, look to Jesus because he wants to speak peace and provide proof of his presence in your life. He has plans for you. He's designed you on purpose for a purpose. You are not here by accident. We're not just atoms and molecules in motion. We live in a skeptical world that doesn't believe. They want proof. I think we're just animals that are just doing whatever instinctually we're supposed to. No. You're designed by a loving heavenly Father with purpose and glory and wonder. Every human being, every life, is an image bearer of God and worthy of dignity and respect. From the unborn to what our world would call disabled. God bless them in Iceland. You know, they don't have a Down syndrome problem anymore in Iceland. Well, how'd they do that, Pastor Bob? You know how they did it? DNA tests in utero, and if they have the marker, the gene marker for Downs, God help, they terminate the pregnancy. No more Downs people in Iceland. Woo! God have mercy on you in Iceland. God have mercy on you. But friends, even in that darkness, Jesus wants to come and speak peace and purpose, provide proof of his presence. But look next. Here comes Thomas, friends. Here comes Thomas. He gets a bad rap, doubting Thomas, right? If you look back in chapter 11, after Lazarus is raised, or actually right before that, Jesus said, hey, we got to go back to Bethany, even after he had just gotten in trouble in Bethany, run out of town. It's like, we got to go back. Lazarus is sleeping. I got to go wake him up. Like, well, if he's sleeping, Lazarus is dead, guys, and we got to go back. And Thomas is like, well, trouble's waiting for us. If he's going to go back and maybe die, well, let's all go die together, okay? So Thomas is like, he's gung-ho, full bore, John chapter 11. But here, post-crucifixion, he's like, man, this isn't what I thought it was going to, like, this didn't go down like I had hoped it would. So in verse 21, again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven. And he sent them out with purpose, friends. He speaks purpose. And it gives them power. Right? Matthew 28, Great Commission, verses 18 through 20. He provides the power to do the mission that he's called us to. Here's the purpose. Go disciple making. I'll get to Thomas in a moment. I skipped the point. We got to get back to the point. So he speaks peace and provides proof, but he also speaks purpose. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And that purpose is to go disciple making. So as you're living, you're to make disciples. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, what? Go. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey or observe all that I have commanded you. For lo, I am with you always. Behold, look, I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age. And so you have the promise of his presence and his power. Acts 1:8. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my, anybody? Witnesses. I hear it whispered. But witnesses don't whisper. We declare, we're proclaimers of what Jesus has done. We're billboards of God's grace. Old new song, trophies of grace, perfectly placed in the body, bought with a price, supreme sacrifice, for people to see God's love and God's glory put on display. So Jesus wants to speak purpose and provide you with the power to live out that purpose. The Holy Spirit has come on us by faith, by the grace of God, to do what he's called us to do. Now, I do want to point out here in verse 23 of John 20, interesting statement that Jesus makes, right? He says, if you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Whoa, huh? Do any of you cats have the power to grant forgiveness and salvation or to withhold it? No, okay? The verb forgive is aorist active subjunctive. So it's a past action that's conditional. And there's a, then it will be forgiven, right? If you do not forgive them, they're not, or if you forgive anyone their sins, they are forgiven. That they are forgiven is perfect tense. So a past action with a lasting result. But why are you getting all technical? So this how is forgiveness accomplished? We celebrated last week Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. The only provision of forgiveness that's possible and lasting for your soul is granted by the work that Jesus accomplished on the cross. It was done and has lasting consequences. How is that applied to your life? By grace through faith. And this not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. So forgiveness is accomplished by God through the death of the Son and is granted by him through faith. Friends, neither you nor us collectively as a church, there's no pope, there's no priest, there's no nobody that can grant salvation for any forgiveness of sins to anybody. Like, Jesus' point is that as we proclaim the gospel that forgiveness is found in Christ alone, the faith that's expressed in trusting it or not trusting it, that in is where the forgiveness is received or withheld, right? And it's not, and technically the verb isn't if you do not forgive them. It's if you withhold it or deny it, then it's withheld or denied. Friends, it's by faith that we're saved, right? It's by grace that we're saved through faith. It's how forgiveness is appropriated to everyone for salvation. Now, is there a point when if somebody has offended you or hurt you, can you grant forgiveness in that respect? Yes. But with regard to salvation, not a one of you, none of us has the authority to dangle the significance and the weight of someone's salvation. That's above your pay grade, right? There's only one name. It's the name that's above every name. His is the only name that can save, okay? And so I hope I didn't muddy the waters. I just want to be clear that you don't have the power to withhold forgiveness as far as salvation is concerned for somebody. Neither does the Pope or a Roman Catholic priest. Like, that's where, I think this is where they grab some of their, hey, you have to be a dispenser of forgiveness. And so that's why people come, please, Father, help me, and doing all the rosary things and so many Hail Marys and absolution. Okay, let's be clear. Jesus is the only one who can forgive. His death, burial, and resurrection is the only thing sufficient for our salvation, period. Full stop. Full stop. Jesus' death on the cross is the only blood that is sufficient to save. So, moving on. Jesus speaks peace and provides proof. He speaks purpose and provides power. Number 3, look at this. Here comes Thomas. Sorry, I got ahead of myself. Jesus wants to move us from skeptical doubting to surrendered believing. Do you trust him? Notice carefully in verse 25 how specific Thomas's skepticism was. Like so many people today, they want the proof, right? He said, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. Unless I see it, unless I touch his hands, unless I put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe it. Now look at how specific Jesus was when he came in and addressed Thomas. Verse 26, a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them again and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, all three things, put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting, but believe. Thomas, stop doubting. Friend, stop doubting. Stop despairing. Quit your disappointment. Life hurts. Whether it's disappointment about your health, a loved one's health, look, Mike Suggs passed a week ago. Just in the last 2 days, we've got word. So Jonathan Wade, his father-in-law, passed away suddenly yesterday. And so they're flying up to Iowa. Dana Hollins, a brother, we got word, just passed away. I think it was this morning or last night. Suddenly, unexpected. You know, they've had health issues, but both of these deaths came unexpectedly. It happens, right? Marriages struggle. People disappoint. Jobs get funky. Bosses change, and you're like, oh my goodness, this is, I need Indeed. Like, I don't, I promise. I was just saying, please, God, help me. I love you. I love Jason. Oh my goodness. I hope you love me too. Oh dear heavens. We needed a laugh. We needed some levity because life hurts. Amen. But into that hurt, Jesus says, stop doubting. Stop doubting me. Stop doubting me. Stop being disbelieving. Apistuo. Pistuo means believe. Apistuo, so like an atheist, so a theist and an atheist. So in the Greek, it's you put the A in front, it means not. So stop being disbelieving. That's the weight of it. Stop being disbelieving. Not just doubt. Stop not believing in me. Stop it. And then, but, Allah, it's like the strongest negative conjunction. Allah, but, not Allah, la, la, not that. Allah, it's a Greek word, but. Stop not believing, but believe. On the contrary, believe. It's an imperative, it's a command. Jesus says, believe. Trust me. See my hand? See it, Thomas. Put your finger right here, Thomas. Put your hand in my side, Thomas. I don't know. I know some of your stories. I know some of your struggles, but many of us, we hide and we put on the all is well. But I know that there are hurts in this room. It's tangible, friends. But I want you to know that Jesus sees you and he knows you. He knows what you're going through. And he says, I see you. I love you. Peace be with you. Shalom. Stop doubting. Stop disbelieving in me, but believe. Believe. It's a command from the Son of God himself. Believe me. Believe me. Is the arm of the Lord too short to save your loved one, your wayward kid? Is his arm too short? No. Our God is able. Our God is able. Whatever relational conflict and is going on, God is able. You take care of yourself. So far as it depends on you, you live at peace with all people, especially those in your household. Speak truth and grace and forgiveness. Trust me and believe, he says. Quit disbelieving. Quit walking in your disbelief. Trust me. Paul says in Colossians, clothe yourself with Christ Jesus. Put off the old way, greedy, selfish, wicked, disobedient to parents. Put off the old junk. Clothe yourself with the righteousness of Christ, who's humble and gentle and kind and considerate. Try putting that on today. Try putting that on in your communication. Try putting him on in how you love and deal with one another. He sees you and he knows you. He knows the pain that you're walking through. He knows the disappointment that life has handed you. And he says to you, stop doubting. Trust me. Dana, I didn't even see you. Praying for you, sister. Dana Holland's in the house. I didn't know you were here. Stop doubting and believe, folks. Stop being disbelieving, but believe. Thomas, look here. It's me. Put your finger right here. Put your hand in here. It's me. Friends, put him to the test. God, I need you. He's there. He's there. He sees you. He knows you. He's calling you by name. So how will you respond? Because ultimately, here's the deal. Church tradition, Fox's Book of Martyrs. Thomas took the gospel to Persia and Parthia and to India further than any of the other apostles. He was later thrown into the flames of an oven. A blooming onion. A blazing one. He was thrown into a burning oven because he would not recant. Because he was recounting his faith, he would not recant. He would not turn from Jesus. So in India, they threw him into a burning, hot, big oven, but the flames weren't consuming him. So they threw spears at him and impaled him. That's the courage of the disciple that we call Doubting Thomas. Because his declaration was then, my Lord in surrender and my God in faith. Right? My Lord, Kurios, my Lord and my God. He believed and surrendered and went wherever Jesus said go. So how will you respond? Jesus told him, because you've seen me, you believe. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And Jesus did many other miracles, John writes. Did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Will you trust in Christ the Messiah? Will you trust in him as the Son of God? He is the only way of salvation. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Thomas's world was turned upside down. But Jesus came and stood among him, said, stop doubting, believe me. And Thomas went out with purpose. Friends, today is the day of salvation. Today's the day of stepping forward into trust and hope and belief. Maybe you're down and discouraged and defeated. May today be a day of declaration. Jesus, you are my Lord. You are my God. I surrender my life to you. I trust you. D.L. Moody was a great preacher in the 1800s here in America, was doing a revival, launched a series of meetings in Chicago, promised the largest crowds that he'd ever addressed, and opening night was Sunday night, October 8th, 1871, and he took as his topic the trial before Pilate, and as he came to the end of the message, he turned to the Gospel of Matthew, which says, what shall I do then with Jesus who is called Christ? Quoting Pilate's response, what do you want me to do with this Jesus? And D.L. Moody told the crowd, I want you to take this question home and think about it. What am I going to do with Jesus? And looking back on his life and writing about his ministry, D.L. Moody looks back to this moment as one of the greatest regrets of his evangelistic career. He says, I want you to think about what you're going to do with Christ, and we'll meet next week and talk about it. And we'll call you to response and call you to commit. Friends, Sunday night, October 8th, 1871, even as they were starting to sing that last hymn of response, Today the Savior Calls, they started hearing the sirens. And the great Chicago fire of 1871, thousands of people gathered in that hall, it burned to the ground. Many from that hall may have even lost their lives and probably did. That fire went on for 2 more days. That congregation, that specific one, never gathered again, right? Specific people gathered that one specific night, just as we're gathered this morning. This specific collection of people, who knows whether we'll all be gathered together, this specific collection next week. Some of y'all won't be here next week. Others will be here that aren't here today. What is it that Jesus is calling you to do? He says, stop doubting, but believe. If you haven't trusted in Christ alone for salvation, today is the day of salvation. Brian and the band are going to come, and we're going to sing a hymn of response, and we're going to give you an opportunity to respond. Maybe like, in front of all these people? Maybe so. I hope so. Jesus died on the cross for you. I'd love to just talk with you and pray with you. And look, again, there's no pressure to come down here. If God is doing a work in you, if his Holy Spirit is drawing you unto himself as only he can, I would love to have the privilege and the honor of talking with you and letting you know that Jesus loves you, that he died on a cross for you and rose again to conquer sin and death in the grave. So that just by simply confessing him as Lord of your life and trusting him with faith, he says, you will be saved. Your sins will be forgiven. You'll be given new life. You'll be made alive spiritually. And I'd love to talk with you and pray with you about that. Maybe you're here and you've been coming. And we're going to identify with this church as a church home. Would you do that today? I know the pastor's not here, but you can still come. And whether you come and respond or not, just know the best step for you to do is just walk in obedience. Do what God is calling you to do. Today is the day of salvation. Today is a day to move forward in faith. Stop doubting, but believe. Walk in confidence today that God is with you. He sees you and he knows you and he loves you and has a purpose and a plan for you. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would indeed do what only you can do, that you would encourage us and help us, God, as a centurion. Help my unbelief. God, forgive us for our lack of faith. Forgive us for our lack of obedience. Forgive us for our silly self-protection and our desire to see proof. God, help us to trust you, to walk in faith and obedience. And we ask, Holy Spirit of God, that you would work in our hearts and our lives to produce obedience and a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and we're going to sing this hymn of response. And whatever your response needs to be, do it. Do what God is calling you to do. The steps are open for prayer. Come see me. Let's sing. Amen. Let's pray together as our ushers come for the morning offering. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you that you have provided us hope. Hope has a name. Its name is Jesus. Peace has a name. Its name is Jesus. So, Father, I pray that you would help us to walk in hope and in peace and in grace each and every moment of each and every day. Please, Father, find us faithful. And as these tithes and offerings are collected, I pray, God, that we would continue strive to use them for your honor and glory and for the benefit of the people here in this community and around the world, that the name of Jesus would ring out, that many would come to know you through the message of the gospel, through people here that go and carry the name and the love of Jesus all over. Help us to do it with joy and with energy in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Just a couple of announcements. I mentioned that Jonathan Wade and his wife Rhonda and Ian are on their way up to Iowa. So he's been teaching the Philippians class on Wednesday night. And so as of right now, I think we're probably going to cancel that class, but we'll talk about that tomorrow and let y'all know if you've been coming to that class on Wednesday night that meets over in C108. Great class on Philippians. He's a great Bible teacher, Jonathan is. And anyway, so we're right now probably going to cancel that Wednesday night class for this week. Also, where are my VBS volunteers? If you have, yes, where am I? I wish I was a VBS volunteer. I want to be a VBS. I'm just kidding. There's a meeting this afternoon in the pier with Lauren today at 5 o'clock. Deacons, we got a meeting today at 4, but if you got to slide out for that, that's okay. So tonight, VBS workers, 5 o'clock in the pier. A brief meeting with Lauren as we look ahead. VBS is coming. It's always an awesome week in the life of our church. So looking forward to that. Also, next weekend, next Friday and Saturday, the 19th and 20th, we're going to do a parenting conference down in the Life Center. Dave and Ann Wilson, it's a video-based conference. It's a pastor and his wife up in Detroit area. Anyways, they do podcasts for Family Life Today. And so we're going to do that conference next week. You see that information here, $15 a person. Going to be a great opportunity. And then finally, mark your calendars for May 11th, the car show right here. Brian and Charmaine, Nick, again, helping us out. There they are. So if you want to volunteer and want more information, you can see Brian and Charmaine. They would love to have you help. So with that, I think, guests, thanks for being with us. I'll be at the Welcome Center in Jason's stead. Be praying for our pastor. He was on the State Board of Missions, had meetings all last week, or the end of last week, for the Florida Baptist Convention mission effort. So he's on a board. Mm-hmm. State board. So they had board meetings this week, and then he's camping with Heather's family. So,
yeah. Awesome. Thank you, Bob. As Bob makes, before we sing our way out, just a quick word. Tonight we start on Telos. We are starting a three-week sessions, or whatever we call it, three-week subject matter of technology. Theology of technology is what I'll be talking about tonight, looking at Scripture and helping us to see technology through the lens of the Bible. What's God's relationship with technology? Where does technology come from? What is technology? All of those things in the next couple of weeks we'll be talking about. Internet, social media, and also stewardship of technology. So I encourage you to come if that's something that you're interested in. But without further ado, let's stand and sing our way out, praising God for all who he is. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.